Good afternoon. Welcome to The Man in Line on Manx Radio, our daily interactive get-together. Anything on your mind, then text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, or call 66 13 68. You and me together through till one today since the last update. Well, the last update was 4 o'clock on Thursday, last Thursday. We've had no further confirmed positive tests for coronavirus. So we have no active cases on the Isle of Man. It's easy to say that quickly, but considering the rest of the world, it's amazing. Total number of confirmed cases remains at 336. That's 7,829 concluded tests, 14 people waiting results, 16 people waiting for a test, 15 of whom are part of the extended testing regime. And it is a week since people were allowed off the Isle of Man to go away and to come back. In fact, some of them have come back in the meantime. So no doubt everybody's going to be watching what happens over the next few days. And certainly, I don't know whether you find it disconcerting or reassuring. Every time we talk to a politician, they always say it's a matter of when we have another confirmed positive test, not if. So it's going to happen at some point that David Ashford will come to the microphone and say, there's been a confirmed positive test. I just wonder what people's mood will be like when that happens. Your chance to discuss the day's news, tell your story and extend kind of fellowship in this strange time. By the way, even if you don't call or message, you're all part. Everybody's part of this. We're in this together. Lots happening on the Isle of Man. Did you hear the story about the parking controllers, by the way? Temporary staff of the DOI are enforcing parking rules. The department and a private company had a deal to provide parking controllers. That wrapped up on the 18th of July last week. According to the DOI, that new contract's in the process of being finalised. Could you possibly text or email or tell me, has anybody had a parking ticket in the past week since there have been no kind of private parking controllers? Of course, one of the big places where they used to enforce everything was Douglas Promenade. But now, of course, not much happening there in terms of parking. And that's causing parking issues all over Douglas at the moment. But I'd be interested to know who's had a parking ticket. Text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, or give us a call. Tell us where it is. We'd like to know if these temporary people are doing their job, because, of course, there's money in it. Every parking ticket equals money for somebody. So if nobody's issuing parking tickets, where's the money going to come from? Mary dropped a note just to say, watch out if you're across the mountain. Stay to the gullies on the mountain road. They're overflowing, causing a lot of standing water and flooding. Dangerous. There's a risk of aquaplaning if you're heading over the mountain road. No doubt they'll be out keeping the drains clear at some point. Well done to Isle of Man Football Association, by the way. They've just had confirmation from the FA in England that the domestic season can recommence on the Isle of Man on Saturday, the 15th of August. Now that is back to normal. Football season starting Saturday, the 15th of August. Fixtures are going to be issued in due course to all Isle of Man FA member club secretaries. So the football season on the Isle of Man recommences Saturday, the 15th of August. Andy, we're all going to have to tighten our belts from the top down. I know my wage, this is John, I know my wage will have to be reduced, and this applies to many of my staff. So I trust the government will now be reducing the same with their staff. The high cost for the amount of unnecessary civil servants, I think, is unsustainable, because as the general public have been forced to fund their own pensions in the future, how can we be expected to also pay theirs as well? I don't think it's fair. Why should we lose out at their expense? Why can't they fund their own like they want us to? We need to find an economic balance and fairness. Why should civil servants be spared the pain of the financial crisis? Let's hope for change. I don't feel I owe them, says John. That's a thought. That's a recurring issue that comes up about public sector pensions. And I just wonder, and of course, the big issue at the moment is the largest teaching union on the Isle of Man is pleased that its members will be receiving their biggest pay increase in 15 years. But it says it's only because the education department is following an obligation. The pay award was confirmed last week, with all teachers receiving an additional 2.75% from September. Well, the negotiating secretary for the NASUWT, that's National Association of Schoolmasters and Union of Women Teachers, is Geraldine O'Neill.
We're pleased, of course, that the funding is for the pay increase is happening, but that is currently our employer following their obligations, really, because we follow the UK pay recommendations. The situation for us really is not simply about pay. Pay is only one aspect of our dispute. We have a wide-ranging dispute, and it's actually the issues of workload, workplace, working conditions, pensions and policies that really our dispute is focused on as well. The situation currently at the moment is that we see this as a funding choice.
We've got four unions. They all seem to alter slightly in what they want. How then can the department be expected to know exactly how to move forward if the unions themselves can't come to a collective decision?
The unions came to a collective decision within 30 minutes of negotiating together. That again is a false interpretation. The unions are completely united on all of this. The only differences in the unions is that some of the unions have focused on just the non-award in 2018. Ours is wider, but actually we are all united, totally united, and have been from day one of negotiations. The only time we were not united was when one union went off and negotiated separately.
What happens now then? Is strike action inevitable?
What happens now is that is totally, again, it is action short of strike action that our ballot is on. We've started our ballot. Action short of strike action means that it is meetings before and after school, lunchtime activities. There is no impact on curriculum. So delivery of GCSEs, A-levels, etc. will go on as normal. What action short of strike action highlights is what teachers do outside of their terms and conditions and pay. That is voluntary. And I would also like to say that in another jurisdiction where they've had action short of strike action in Northern Ireland for a prolonged period, it actually resulted in better GCSE and A level results because teachers were able to concentrate on their core job. And our position, though, really on this is what's most important. We're a democratic organisation. We are reballoting because we have substantial increased numbers. And this is to continue to have an impact. Plus, we are waiting for the review. The review, the independent review, has only come about due to the action of the unions. And it is vitally important for the whatever the recommendations are implemented and in the public view.
That's the local negotiating secretary for the NASUWT. And that point of view, how many unions are there? Five? Crikey. Hello, Mike, you're on the man in line. What's on your mind?
Yes, Andy, hi. Speaking to somebody yesterday who appeared to be in the know, now I can't confirm this, but the travel between Guernsey and the Isle of Man, brilliant idea, love it to death, but apparently Guernsey have now opened up travel to Jersey, which still has cases of COVID-19, and to the south of England, which also, of course, still has COVID-19.
Where did you hear about this?
Well, I was told about this by somebody who seemed to know what they were talking about, but I can't confirm it. And I just wondered if you'd heard anything.
Well, apart from the fact that Jersey had a couple of experimental trips on their boat to go to Poole in Dorset, but they were only for Guernsey people going to the UK, but not the other way around. I don't think that's ongoing at the moment. As for trips between Guernsey and Jersey, no, not heard anything about that. We'll try and find that out, Mike.
Right. If it's not happening, that's brilliant. If it is happening, it's a little bit worrying.
At what point do we start to loosen things, though, Mike? Because obviously it was a week ago that the Isle of Man allowed people to leave and to come back. And obviously people can still fly. People can go to the UK and they will be mixing with everybody. So we'll have people coming back, although they're going to have to self-isolate. How long do you think we should leave it before we loosen things?
Oh, goodness, that's the $90 million question, isn't it? I really have no idea. It's got to be a reasonable period until the cases in the UK drop below a certain figure, whatever figure happens to be chosen.
And how do you feel about the, I mean, it's what's happened in England. They said everybody could go to Spain and come back, and that was okay. Then Spain had a spike, and now they have to self-isolate. At some point, and as I say, lots of the ministers come on the Man in Line and they say, when there's another case on the Isle of Man, at that point, do you think we should do anything to go back to any sort of lockdown if we start getting cases on the island?
Yes, I think we should. The lockdown that's happened for people coming back from Spain to the UK is very sad for those people who just thought they were going for a nice two-week holiday. But I think the English government have done the right thing. It's, lockdown seems to be the best way to control the number of cases that occur.
Thanks for being with us, Mike. Good to talk to you.
You too. Take care.
17 minutes past 12 midday. Text us on 166177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Call 66 13 68. What's the point in parking controllers? There's so many roadworks, cars can't get into a controlled area, says one correspondent. There was a very diligent warden in the Marks and Spencer car park yesterday, Sunday, dishing out tickets. And also, I haven't had a parking ticket for years because I refuse to go to Douglas Town Centre because of the parking controllers. Well, I just wonder where they are. Text us and tell us if you've had a parking ticket recently. Oh, by the way, if the teachers follow, this is a text that came in, if the teachers follow their obligations and taught and not indoctrinated, we wouldn't have a dumbed-down society that we have now. We'd have more creative people and enterprising society. The truth is, that's what they've done. Another dig at the civil servants, says Gary. Look, we are all in this together. Why reduce civil service staff? We had a texter earlier on who was saying that we need to reduce the cost of the civil servants. Why reduce the civil service staff when we clearly need more? Where would the public be during this crisis if it weren't for the civil service? Our work is unseen behind the scenes. Our pensions need funding somehow, and that's what public funds are for. We're paid for what we know and not what we do. This needs to be understood, says Gary. Well, and Gary has a point. The Western world is founded on the law of contract. Is when you enter a contract, you expect the terms of that contract to be honoured. So if somebody signs on as a civil servant, lots of civil servants signed on 20, 30 years ago, and they signed on to a contract, and that was what they signed on for. Can you really blame somebody who's a civil servant for just having a contract that is being the terms of which are being honoured? And put yourself in their shoes. Would you do any different? My mate is going away for 2 weeks, and he knows he has to self-isolate. But can she still go to work when they're working together? The story is, if somebody's going away and you come, if someone comes back, they can self-isolate within a household as long as there's space to do so. I think somebody has to have their own room and they have to have separate toilet or washing facilities, or certainly the facility to clean them all the time. But when people are coming back, we'll find out, won't we? If somebody starts developing symptoms, we'll soon know whether this is working or not. What are the school teachers crying about? I think they get paid too much. They got a holiday and sick pay. What's wrong with them? They should be grateful. They have a job. 5 weeks now on full pay, I wish, as JK. I go back to what I said, JK. It's the law of contract. If you sign a contract, you expect the terms of that contract to be honoured. That's what they're getting. So Mike's with us. Oh, it's another Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Andy.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, it was just going back to last week about the cyclists.
What particular point about cyclists?
I live up on the coast road in Bride, right? I pull out of my parking space, I go down to the road, I wind the windows down because I only live about 15 yards away from a blind bend on the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled up, I saw a motorbike coming down from the left, and I intended to pull out behind him. And as he went by me and I was going to go, there were like 25, 30 cyclists in a really tight pack that passed me, right? If I had pulled out, if he'd been 5 seconds earlier, yeah, if I'd pulled out, I would have wiped out like 30 cyclists because they wouldn't have had time to stop.
So what do you think should happen?
Well, they should at least ride in single file. They shouldn't come to, I mean, it looked like the start of the Tour de France. They were all so close together in like a formation of 4-3, 4-3, 4-3.
And it was purely timing that stopped an accident happening. It would have happened, you think, if you'd been later.
If that motorbike hadn't been there and I'd pulled out, I would have wiped out the lot.
What speed were they doing, do you think?
They were doing at least, I mean, some of the ones at the back were standing on the pedals, and they must have been doing 30 mile an hour. And they'd only got 15 yards to have stopped. If I'd pulled out, I would have covered the whole of the road, and they wouldn't have had anywhere to go.
Well, they have a right to the road, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They don't pay vehicle licence. They don't pay anything else. I mean, I find it really... I've got nothing against cyclists at all. They can do whatever they like. But I drive a Bentley. It costs me £560 a year to pay road licence, yeah? They pay nothing. Who's going to pay for my car if I've got 30 cyclists ramming in the side of it?
Good point, Mike. Thanks for being with us today.
Okay.
Good, thank you. Thanks for that point. How much right do cyclists have to be on the road? Well, they have the right to be on the road. And that is the situation in law. Someone who's a cyclist can go on the road and take the consequences, enjoy the benefits. But bearing in mind what Mike said, what would you think? Paul dropped me a note. No, sorry, it was David who dropped me a note and said, I'd be interested to hear Geraldine's opinion of Alf Cannon's comments on the man in line last Friday. Does she consider herself one of the union agitator that he referred to? Will she and her fellow teachers now knuckle down knowing that COVID-19 has completely altered the Isle of Man's fiscal position? Yes, you heard Geraldine O'Neill from the NASUWT talking about pay and conditions. Well, she referred not just to money. She said there were four other things. She said workload, conditions, pensions and policies. Now, do you remember Mr. Cannon on Friday, the Treasury Minister? I asked him about the teachers' pay dispute.
First and foremost, the department are having to pay for that award, and they've got to find the money. All the departments in the budget this year were given a 2% allowance for pay. Anything above 2%, they've got to find. And I made it expressly clear yesterday to Dr. Allenson that he would have to find the money in his department. The situation, David, has fundamentally changed now. And you know, the teaching unions have got to get their heads around the fact that COVID-19 has altered completely the fiscal position of the Isle of Man government, and that we are in a period of great uncertainty. My advice to them and to everybody right now across the public sector, you know, who I think we have made progress with in the last 4 years, but now we need to knuckle down, do the very best we can in terms of delivering public services. And it's going to now be the budget next year before we are in a position to understand where pay sits. But, you know, when we've got a situation where the private sector is struggling day to day in large quantities to keep their businesses alive, restructure their businesses, keep people employed, where people are having to take pay cuts and where we're facing large-scale redundancies, it is going to be unacceptable to find public sector pay union and bodies determining awards that are clearly going to be unmanageable.
That was the Treasury Minister on Friday. He seemed very exact about what he was saying. We'll hear what Dr. Allinson had to say too as well. A note in said, hi Andy, regarding Guernsey, from what I've read in the Guernsey press, they're doing the same as us, 14 days isolating for non-residents, apart from the Manxes going to the Isle of Man. So apparently if people are non-resident in Guernsey, and I'm assuming that that means people going from Jersey, they'll have to isolate for 14 days. So, Mike, I hope that clears that up. The teachers should stop moaning and get on with their job. They should be glad to have a job, not like others, after everything that has happened this year. Some people haven't worked for 4 months. So it's a bit rich that the teachers want to stamp their feet. A quick internet chat shows that people from the UK are able to travel to Guernsey, but they have to travel, isolate for 14 days, says GE. Somebody said, Mike, get rid of the Bentley, get a bicycle. I don't know. If you were given the choice of being chauffeured in a Bentley or riding a bicycle, which would you have? Jersey Evening Post, I'm just checking their website as well. There's lots of detail about travel controls to Guernsey. It says, Jersey want but haven't got a travel bubble with Guernsey. It's been well documented in the Channel Islands that Guernsey have handled this much better. Certainly Gavin St-Pierre, the Chief Minister, has got many more plaudits than John Lafondre in Jersey. Text us then, 166177. Shall we hear what Dr. Allinson had to say? We've heard Geraldine McNeil from the NASUW, Geraldine O'Neill from the NASUWT. We heard the Treasury Minister, Alfred Cannon, about the pay increase on Friday's Man in Line when he was live in the studio. Here's what the Minister has to say. The Education Minister says he'll be working through the summer to end the pay dispute between his department and the teaching unions. Remember, this has gone on and on. Graham Cregeen was the minister when all this started. We've now got a new minister. So it's seen one minister off. Dr. Allinson says it's his aim to ensure there's no lingering threat of strike action or work to rule when the schools reopen in September. Of course, they broke up last Friday. Dr. Alex Allinson.
What we're doing is honouring a commitment to follow the United Kingdom. What we're not doing is putting the emphasis on head teachers to make cuts to services. And
Who is going to make the cuts then?
The department will balance the budget. Now, what we had last week was a meeting with all the unions, and we gave a clear commitment there that we would fund this without redundancies of teachers. We would fund the pay increase, which is really quite substantial, especially for those starting off in the profession, without cuts to frontline services. Because we've got a big department, we'll need to make efficiency savings in other areas, but this will not affect the education service.
The lack of pay rises, the increased pension contributions. The reality is that teachers are now taking less home than they were nearly a decade ago. That's not an incentive for people to get into education, is it?
Well, I think it is because, as Geraldine said, this dispute, which hasn't helped anyone, is over a whole range of issues. It's about respect, it's about communication, it's about pay, it's about conditions. I respect the teachers, I respect their representatives. We're trying to increase the communication, which is why I'm on here this morning. We're dealing with pay and we're also looking at conditions of teachers as well. We're looking at their workload, we're looking at how we can make their life easier to do the teaching they want, because people came into this profession to teach children, not to go on strike or have a work to rule.
A lot of this, though, does come down to money. We heard the Treasury Minister on the Man in Line on Max Radio on Friday say that he told you there would be no more money. Are you not able to stand up to him?
I certainly am. Now, this country got united to defeat coronavirus, and we've done incredibly well, but we're now looking at an economic storm coming our way, and government is united in its attempts to deal with that. We need a balanced budget. We need to invest in the economy. My wages, teachers' wages, are paid by the taxpayer. If people haven't got jobs, they don't pay taxes, they won't fund the essential public services we need across health, education, and right across government.
Well, finally, Minister, I think there is a general feeling in the public that there's a frustration at how long this is going on for. Where is it going to end? At what point are you going to say, right, enough is enough and sort it out?
Yeah, I mean, I share that frustration. I think everyone on this island in September wants schools to reopen as normal, with no work to rule, with no threats of strike action. And we will be working throughout the summer with all the unions, with all the teachers on this island, some of whom absolutely are inspirational for their pupils, to settle this dispute once and for all. So in September, we can hit the ground running. We can start our education system ahead, whatever coronavirus throws at us.
So now you've heard from the three people, the negotiating secretary, Geraldine O'Neill, for the NASUWT. That was the education, sport and culture minister, Dr. Alex Allenson. And you also heard from the treasury minister, Alfred Cannon. And as Beth said, this has been going on longer than Lord of the Rings. We just hope it'll be sorted out and everybody can get back. Of course, in the middle of all this are the students, the children. It's their education. Much has been made of people's money and conditions and government's money pot and what have you. But in the middle of this, we're talking about the education of our young people, the education that will be helping them cope with life in the future. I just wonder how they'll look back on all this. Text, email or call. I was on the Bride Road yesterday, says this correspondent. Two cyclists cycling abreast. It's a narrow road. The outside cyclist was half over the centre line, which meant I couldn't overtake them. I didn't have enough space for my car, never mind having to be 1.5 metres away from them. I wouldn't go to single file to let me pass, said that, until they got to a blind corner where I couldn't overtake there either. I thought it was very inconsiderate. What would happen if in the private sector, if workers had an unaffordable contract? It gets change. That should happen to the civil service, says that correspondent. Teachers are breaking their contracts, churning out mentally ill children, only fit to feed the NHS. Well, if you could possibly justify that wide-sweeping statement, we'd love to hear that. Cyclists, like all road users, should drive according to the congestion conditions and visibility. You should be able to stop within the visible road. Therefore, when approaching a corner, we should all slow down as we can't see around the corner. The cyclist said, Mike, that's the Bentley driver, Mike in Bride, needs to have the visibility to his driveway improved. Why didn't Mr. Cannon stop the DfE payments, like the £1 million in the last 3 months on a TT that didn't take place? If you could possibly justify that and give us some documentary evidence for that correspondent with the made-up name, we'd love to hear from you. Your call is correct. The group of cyclists are an accident waiting to happen. They should cycle in single file, says John. The gentleman with the Bentley needs to invest in a traffic mirror if he's relying on hearing traffic coming to him. To know if it's safe to pull out, then he'll be in danger if there's an electric car approaching. Tony C, best point of the day so far. How are you going to cope when electric cars are de rigueur? I agree. My pension plans are in tatters and my wage has been reduced. I'm lucky still to have a job, unlike many, says Karen. So I'm not willing to pay for civil service pensions. I don't think it's optional. I don't think you can kind of opt out. But anyway, I just can't afford it. I simply don't want to. I bet their wages haven't been reduced and I bet their roles will remain safe. This is not an anti-civil service thing, is it? We should cut the amount of civil servants and use the money saved to pay for their pensions. Fair's fair. Who agrees? Let's have a vote, says Karen. Well, there is a vote, of course. There's a big one in 14 months' time. It's the House of Keys general election.
Listen to us on your smart speaker. Alexa, play Manx Radio.
25 to 1 on the Manor Line. This teachers' dispute goes on and on, doesn't it? Now, if you know how to solve it, we'd love to hear from you.
Office World at Spring Valley is the island's largest one-stop shop for packaging materials. We stock everything from huge rolls of bubble wrap to single envelopes, padded bags, mailing tubes, labels, packaging tape, storage boxes, and much more. Office World has everything you need to package your goods safely and securely. Office World is also home to the island's largest stationery store, with over 4,000 products under one roof, with free parking right outside the front door. It has to be Office World at Spring Valley Estate, Braddon.
Indicators are pointing towards PPE becoming part of our daily life and wearing certified face face masks can assist in the fight against viruses and infections. At STS Manx, we only supply approved, certified, high-grade KN95 FFP2 respirator masks with free island-wide delivery, giving you the confidence to buy from a local supplier. Certified masks could assist companies with social distancing requirements and benefit the general public. Call STS Manx on 566060 or email Sean at stsmanx.com.
Save over £460 by moving your mobile unlimited broadband and landline to Shaw. Bundle all your services into one great package right now. Simply sign up to a 24-month contract with Shaw. Enjoy all three services and save. Get more for less. So pop in store today and set up your very own great value big bundle. For details, visit shaw.com. Get more from Shaw.
Aon is the island's commercial insurance broker of choice, providing businesses with risk solutions including buildings insurance, liability, professional indemnity and more. Aon combines expertise and full remote working ability with access to top insurance providers worldwide. Call 692 400 or search online for Aon Isle of Man. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
Run a small business or just need more room in the back of your transport? Then visit Philshaw Vehicles in Tramode. Whether you're moving tools, boxes, sports equipment, pizzas or even dogs, Philshaw has the perfect light van for all your needs. Specialising in vans for over 20 years, Philshaw always has a great range of used light commercials in stock with finance available. Calling to Philshaw Vehicles on the Tramode Estate. Call 49 51 49 or see the range at philshawvehicles.im.
Never before have I seen such natural beauty. Yards of luscious green grass to my right are bordered by beds of tall sunflowers as graceful aromatic lilies embrace the sunshine, hugging a majestic wooden structure looking wisely over its kingdom. This garden could be your reality. The Southern Home and Garden Store showroom is now open 7 days a week. Visit the showroom on the Balthane Estate or view Southern Home and Garden Store on Facebook.
This Tuesday here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
I catch up with Sheila Gorn from Poolvash Farm, and also I went along to the Heighton Riding Club annual show.
The Tin Baths and the Snake Races went north to the Murrick Park for an event ran by the Ramsey Rugby Club, and also I caught up with the remarkable 8-year-old Dylan Walton, who conquered the summit of Snaefell.
That's all in Countryside at 6 o'clock on Tuesday here on Manx Radio. You can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
Good to have you along. 22 minutes before one on The Man in Line today. Brian, good afternoon. You're on The Man in Line.
Hello. How are you, Andy?
Good, thanks. Well, dry anyway.
I've been off air for a long time and I've been spurred up to come on about the private landlords bill. Consultation on that was supposed to have closed this morning.
Oh, were you at the meeting at the old friends last week?
Yes, and they've seconded me onto their committee. A little bit ill-prepared because I haven't been following things. But now that I look at this proposed bill, it's horrendous. I mean, I can't understand why the legal draftsmen have spent so much time preparing something that is so draconian and is obviously going to end up in a reduction of private dwellings, flats included, and an increase in rents. And I would appeal to everybody who's got anything to do with a rental property or have any aspirations to ever become involved with rental property to get in touch with me at stole@hotmail.com or phone me on 451357 as soon as possible.
Just take that bit by bit then. You said, how do you reckon then that rents will go up and there'll be fewer properties?
Well, first of all, once you start imposing draconian measures on landlords, trying to force them to take people who they would not normally want as tenants. You know, we're not social housing people. So you get increasing costs. There's a registration fee, which will always be passed on to the tenant. There's a strict criteria that government are trying to force upon a landlord that they're not trying to force upon the private householder, which will obviously incur costs. Now, the first effect of that is a lot of people are saying, I'm not going to be bothered. In fact, a close friend of mine has sent me an email this morning. She's decided she was going to refurbish her flats. She's decided just to put them back into a private dwelling house for sale. You know, social housing is the role of central government. You can't force the private individual to provide a service that's not economic. I mean, we've already had a situation where the Prime Minister or our Chief Minister, under the powers levied upon him because of COVID, has made a statement that says nobody can be evicted until the end of this year. Now, most of my tenants have heard that as, we don't have to pay till the end of the year. Well, I still have to find £1,000 a week to keep my mother in a care home. How am I supposed to do that when I'm not receiving any rents? That is my business.
What do you think is behind the thinking behind this new legislation?
Oh, it's the usual, you know, it's populist politics. Let's put something out there that the majority of people will see prima facie as something that's helping them. Oh, yes, we'll make these landlords make the houses better. We'll make landlords, force landlords to do wondrous things, preclude landlords from excluding social benefit tenants, and a range of things that really is beyond the scope of government to do. This is a private sector. You can't put measures in that will ensure that they will lose money at the end of the day.
So so is there any side then? Because there, obviously, I think there was, wasn't there that voluntary code that was going to happen, but it never really happened, did it? So why do you think, I mean, what's the other side then? Let's just suggest then that there are some landlords who are less than 100% in providing value for money accommodation for their clients.
Well, yes, I dare say there are some out there, but I haven't come across that many of them. The vast majority that attended the meeting that I come into contact with take a pride in their properties. They want to keep their capital values up, and they want to keep a range of tenants who will ensure that the property is maintained and keeps a good reputation. Now, the first thing, if government are going to step in and start dictating to the private landlord, why don't they start by putting their own house in order? The footpaths are overgrown. Some of the properties up in Ashley Park have block guttering. Number 12 Meadow Close was let. And when I spoke to one of the officers up there, he said, yes, I appreciate there's a strong possibility there's asbestos in the floor tiles, but we're going to look at that later in the year. Well, you know, words fail me. They talk about the penalties they can impose upon landlords if they fail to follow this code that they're putting down. Well, what about the penalties for people who spend £400 million on a power station or destroy the businesses of Strand Street by keeping Strand Street isolated from any decent parking for a protracted period that's totally unnecessary?
So do you think there will definitely be a reduction in the amount of private accommodation for rent, or do you think that sector will just shrug its shoulders and follow the rules?
I had a situation this year. My son's out there. He could give me the officer's number and the dates and everything. If you need it, I can send that to you. We had a problem tenant who was selling hard drugs from our flats and causing an absolute nuisance. We had somebody taken away in the ambulance who'd overdosed in the backyard, and we were trying to get rid of him. The police were called. I spoke to the officer, And the reply that he gave me was, you will have to evict him. We haven't got the resources to follow up on these incidents.
And how long typically does the eviction process take?
Well, you can't now this year. That's impossible. It's a very expensive process. It's very unwieldy. And at the end of it all, it's going to cost you an absolute fortune.
Even if there's criminality involved, you couldn't get rid of somebody from a property.
Well, once you've embarked on that, once you've gone down that route, if they were paying you anything, they're suddenly going to stop. Because once you go down the road of trying to evict them, they don't pay you when they're wanting to stay in the property. So, you know, and government, who are paying them in many cases, do nothing to help. So you embark on the process and you try to get somebody evicted from a property. They're not going to pay you any rent. And once you get to the courts think, well, where's he going to go? And they give him another chance. Commissioners had it time and time again. They have the problem, but they are social housing providers.
What's your telephone number again, Brian, if somebody wants to get in touch with you?
451357, stowell@hotmail.com.
This is the Isle of Man talking, the man in line.
Brian's telephone number again is 451357 if you want to get in touch. Any points to make, get in touch. Manx Radio.
Same milk from the same grass-fed Manx cows and the same island farms, just a different size. Milk from Isle of Man Creamery now comes in greener, plant-based metric size cartons, 55p for 500 millilitres or a pound for a litre. New, environmentally friendly cartons in a different size, but the same delicious grass-fed Manx milk as ever. Isle of Man Creamery. Call 632000 or search us online for doorstep deliveries.
Welcome back to the Garage Door and Gate Automation Company. We're open and ready to service all your door and gate needs. The Garage Door and Gate Automation Company is adhering to all the latest government guidelines on COVID-19, but we're also happy to carry out your wishes to keep you and our staff safe. Just call the professionals on 624-122 or see our latest updates and news on our Facebook page.
The Garage Door and Gate Automation Company, for a job well done.
With everything that's going on around us, there's a pleasure in store. An invitation to choose a case of six of the same great wines from around the world and only pay for five. Starting at £35 for six, to the ultimate. Choose selected Sainsbury's Taste the Difference wines, Prosecco, or even the finest champagne. Indulgent? Well-deserved, I'd say. The 6 for £5 summer wine offer at Shoprite and Winerite, proudly locally owned.
For pizza, I settle for nothing less than the best. Pizza Napoli, with their wood-fired oven pizza that cooks in just 90 seconds once they've made it up. Nothing frozen, nothing microwaved. It makes me feel like I'm here in Italia, eating a delicious, authentic, tasting pizza in a cobbled square with music and...
Did you order from Pizza Napoli again?
It's free contactless delivery over £15. Call Douglas 813 100. Pizza Napoli in Ramsey and Douglas.
Welcome to the Miller Chaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, where you'll find fabulous reductions throughout the store, from beds and flooring to sofas, cane furniture and accessories, rugs, pictures, mirrors and even wallpapers. Plus, the friendly Miller Chaps team are here as always with a warm welcome and expert help and advice when needed. Don't miss the Miller Chaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, now on.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Miller Chaps of Ramsey.
Make your leisure time complete with Roberts Leisure, the island's most experienced hot tub and sauna retailer. Order your own Canadian-built Arctic Spas hot tub that uses natural sea salt to keep your water clean, and relax whilst the Spa Voice system looks after the water for you all year round. Or enjoy a superb Swedish sauna with infrared and steam baths available too. Your new leisure experience starts with Roberts Leisure. Visit our Douglas showroom in Whitehoe Industrial Estate or visit Arctic Spas IOM on Facebook.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
10 to 1 on Manx Radio. The weather's getting better, by the way. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Chris joins us now. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Andy. Just to back up the caller regarding landlord and tenants, I'm a private landlord at the moment, but I won't be when they bring out the new bill. We've had our tenants in for about 14 years and they've been very good. And if I'm a bad landlord, they'd have kicked off before now. I just can't believe that the government's going to put a landlord and tenant bill like this one. If there is legislation already for the bad landlords, why don't the government enforce it? You know, they've had plenty of time, but our tenants at the moment will be definitely our last ones. Our house, you know, we've got a second house and we'd like to rent it out. We've been very happy with our last tenants, but I tell you what, there won't be another lot in our house.
So how will this new regulation, it sounds like it's going to fundamentally change the relationship.
Oh, unbelievably. Yeah, you know, they want to enforce things, you know. It's just outrageous, in my opinion. I'm so wound up about it, Andy, that, you know, our tenants will be our last tenants, and I don't care. I'll lose income. The government will. Our tenants will have to find new accommodation. You know, it's just absolutely crazy. And what really, really annoys me, there's a house in Andreas. It's a commissioner's house and it is in a right bloody mess. It is in a right mess. And ours, it's a really nice Manx cottage. You know, I'm just so wound up about it. So in my opinion, everybody's going to lose out big style here. And I know of other landlords, because I've got a few friends that have property and it's just to get a bit of income. And I know quite a lot of my friends, once this bill's out, they're going to just throw the towel in. They honestly are.
Okay. All right.
It's just outrageous.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for talking to us today. Stephen's with us. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy, and hello, listeners. Just to echo what has been said, I was at the landlords' meeting, and what was asked for was an extension of the time on the consultation. Now, I'm led to believe the department has refused to do this. And what they seem to be, how they seem to be treating the landlords is like anybody on the street who may have a passing interest or not. And they're just treating the landlords like they're not a special interest group. Now, if you look at the consultation process, it does say in section, I think it's 1.3, those who are directly affected by any proposed changes to legislation should be directly consulted. Now, the landlords have asked for an extension. I'm not sure where we are with that at the time to consult. And we've also asked for a briefing by the department. Now, I think that would be absolutely vital to in order to allay the landlords' worries. Let them interact with those proposing this bill, so in order that the two sides can have a proper dialogue. And as Brian said, as one example, there is no evictions at least until Christmas, and it may well be extended past that. And yet it would appear the DOI is trying to railroad this consultation and bill through. Now, some of the things that have been said previously is would be satisfied by the recommendations of the last select committee, which consulted Uncle Tom Cobley and all, and they made a set of recommendations which would satisfy both the tenant and the landlord. Now, for some mystifying reason, these recommendations haven't been included in this current draft consultation. So I don't know why that is, Andy and listeners. I have no idea why. Because all anybody wants is fairness. And the recommendations of the last committee would provide that framework for fairness. So if anybody from DOI is listening, I would implore them to re-engage properly with the landlords. Give us a bit more time and let your officials come along and give a briefing to everybody so that they can understand what's trying to be said. Because I think at the moment, with what landlords I've spoken to, everybody seems to be not sure of what is happening.
Okay, Stephen, thanks for calling us today. That's it for the Man in Line. If you want a follow-up, by the way, you can email you can email maninline@manxradio.com. That address is open 24 hours a day, and the answer phone is 682-631. Lots more to talk about. By the way, this Wednesday, the man in the hot seat will be on the Man in Line. The Education, Sport and Culture Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, will be live on the Man in Line. A week on Wednesday, David Ashford, Minister of Health and Social Care, will be on. So we'll see what Dr. Allenson has to say this coming Wednesday about this education dispute, the teachers' dispute, action short of a strike or what have you. Thanks to our studio producer today, Howard Kane, I'm Andy Wint. The Man in Line is back tomorrow at 12 midday.